So we're going to primarily be talking about hospitality, and I thought what would help would be first to look at what the Bible says about hospitality, right? So a verse that I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, Romans 12, 12 through 13. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality, right? I love that the word seek is used there. It's just such an action word, something that we should, it just speaks to being proactive and looking for ways to do this. And so we're going to dig into that further too. And you know, we really see how hospitality is used all through the book of Acts as well to advance the mission, which is super cool to think about. The Lord used that then, and he's sure going to use it now, which is really cool. So definition of hospitality. When you look it up, hospitality is a friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, and strangers. Does that sound about right to you guys, what hospitality is? Now, before we get more into the what and how of hospitality, I thought it would be important to look at the why. You know, why do we do this? Why do we have these teams? What's the point of it, right? So at Mission Church, we wanted to make our why super simple. So our mission statement as a church is to make disciples who live loved and sent to the glory of God. And just recently as a hospitality team, we wanted to come up with our own mission statement that would fall within that mission statement of Mission Church. So I have this on a handout too, so don't feel like you have to write it down. So our hospitality team mission statement is people are our focus, and this team exists to usher them towards Christ. We seek to prepare hearts to hear, receive, and respond to God's word every Sunday through a warm, genuine, and loving environment. So our goal as hospitality team members, as people, the people, is to point people to Jesus, right? That's really what it's all about. It's so important, I think, to check our hearts with this. It can be so easy to just show up and serve, you know, and why are we doing what we're doing? Are we trying to look good? Are we going to try to give a good impression? No, we're doing what we're doing because we are trying to direct people to Jesus. And really, one of the ways we do that is through a warm, welcoming environment. So the goal is to show hospitality, this type of hospitality, to our whole church. But when it comes to first-time guests, this is so, so crucial. You know, our ability to do hospitality well as a church is a really key factor into whether people are going to choose to come back for a second visit. And when they come back a second time, this is huge. The percentage of whether or not they will stay at your church increases significantly when they decide to come back a second time. So especially as they come, when they're experiencing that same hospitality over and over again, because the first time they might think, wow, that place was great, but maybe that was a fluke. I don't know. You know, you have some doubters out there like, I don't know if these people are actually that nice. Then they come back again. They go, wow, no, they were that nice again. Like, this is pretty cool. And you start to gain that trust with people. And ultimately, we start pointing them towards Jesus. So we hear here repeatedly, there's something different. There's something different about your church. And, you know, praise God, we really believe that's the genuine love of Christ that people are experiencing, not anything we're doing, but the Lord working through us. So it's just so important. One of the ways that our church is being different is really the spirit of hospitality oozes through our church. It's not just the hospitality team. We say all the time, the whole church is on the hospitality team, whether you like it or not, because the Lord calls you to that, just as a disciple, to treat others that way, treat people that you don't know that way. So really, the love of Christ is the foundation, kind of like Pastor Jerry talked about last night. That love of Christ has to be experienced before we can move the ball in developing leaders, multiplying leaders, and then multiplying churches. So that love of Christ is the foundation. And you know, the good news is this is possible at any church, any size. I know we have all different churches, different sizes here. This can be experienced regardless of where you're at, your location, or your size, that's pretty cool to think about. And, you know, we here at Mission Church, we do not have it all figured out. We are still learning very much. And, you know, you problem solve and you figure something out and then you tweak. It's just an ongoing process of how can we make this experience better and better for people. You know, we want our guests to land here at our church because we want them to experience our assimilation process. Everybody has heard of assimilation. You've heard that word before. So what is it? I have a quote in my office that I think sums up assimilation really well. It says, assimilation leads to life transformation by giving people the means and opportunity to become maturing followers of Christ. So I know this is a hospitality workshop, but I really believe that hospitality and assimilation go hand in hand. So we're going to talk about both of those today, if that's okay with you guys. You know, it's so important to execute a solid assimilation process, because this is going to propel our first-time guests into developing and maturing disciples. And like we heard earlier, those disciples are the foundation then to develop leaders. So here's our goal today. Our goal of this training is to clearly define what a hospitable church environment looks and feels like and the key roles to make that happen. We're going to talk about what it looks like to replicate these roles, develop future leaders, and multiply these same strategies. We'll define clear, simple steps of an assimilation process that effectively meets people where they are and helps them take next steps in their walk with the Lord. And we want to give you practical advice in both hospitality and assimilation that you can hopefully take with you. We've got some resources we're going to share with you that you can then plug and play in some of those things then when you go back to your home churches as well. All right, so like we said before, let's look at hospitality. The whole church is on the hospitality team, right? And we're not just representing our church, we're representing Jesus as we interact with people. So maybe this is happening really well at your church. Maybe you think, wow, it's something we're struggling with. Some great steps is, how do we model this as a staff and as a hospitality team? When we model this well, then the rest of the church is going to come along and start to see that, oh, this is helpful. This means a lot to me, so I want to be able to do the same thing for other people. You know, and it's so important to utilize the people that the Lord sends you. You might be saying, you know what, easy for you to say. You've got, you know, a good sized church here, and there's probably lots of people here. Wherever you're at, whatever the size of your church, God has people there that He wants to use. Maybe they're not the friendliest, but you can come alongside them and greet together and model what that looks like. And then it's also important to pray. Pray for the roles that you need filled at your church. And it's amazing how the Lord will send you exactly what you need. We do the same thing here. We do not have every slot filled every Sunday, I promise you. It can be down to the wire, you know, Saturday, I need 3 more parking team members. What am I going to do? Let's pray. And the Lord is so faithful and sends what we need just all the time. It's really incredible, right? So we want to think through Pastor Nate's training from this morning. This is super helpful for us to implement in our world as well as just the broader church world as well. So you had a card at your seat that's for you to take with you, keep in your Bible if you'd like, that breaks down these different things. But we want to look at, as we build out our hospitality teams and then look to develop leaders, it's just important to utilize this tool. And as you heard, we've got several people from the Mission Church hospitality team here. All of them model these 5 C's really well. So if it's okay, I thought we'd go ahead and put them on the board, even though you have them on your card there. I used to be a teacher years ago, so anytime I get to use a board, it's just really exciting for me. Okay, so let's start with character. Then we have what? Conviction. Competency. All right, what's next? Chemistry. Okay, and then capacity. Did y'all find that helpful with Pastor Nate talking through that? When they shared that with us as a staff, it was just like, you know, light bulbs going off, right? So how this pertains to the hospitality team, really any team you're building out, because I know we heard some people that are involved with different things. When you're recruiting for your teams, you want to look at this from top down. And what's really nice for, I know, our assimilation process, part of that, the assimilation process is the first pass at these things for us. So before anyone joins a serving team, membership's required. When someone applies for membership, they have an interview with one of our elders, right? Is that similar for you guys at your different churches? So that interview with one of our elders is looking right here at this, character and conviction. You know, they're figuring out, are they in line with what we believe? And in that interview, lots of times doctrinal issues will come out and they'll be able to talk through that. But if they have been approved for membership by one of our elders, the character's been evaluated, and they've also, in order to apply for membership, they have to take something, a luncheon, kind of a class thing we have called Consider Mission. I'm going to talk more about that here in a little bit. But that really breaks down what we're all about as a church and what we believe. We give them some resources there to look over. So they will have been through that to then say, man, do I line up with them? Do I line up with their beliefs? Competency, this is something we're going to break the roles down here a little bit, but this is kind of where we step in as we're building out our team, looking at these new people the Lord is sending us. What types of things do they need to have in place to be successful on this particular team? And then competency and chemistry, we're going to live right here a lot as we're recruiting to our teams, because if someone isn't able to smile, they probably shouldn't be on the hospitality team, right? You know, that's just important, right? And then capacity is how much margin do people have in their lives? Nice thing for hospitality team, I know for us, this is an area where you can plug people in that really see the value of serving and being a part of the mission, but might not have a ton of time on their hands. We have a very successful realtor here that attends our church, and he's crazy busy. But he serves on the hospitality team one service, one Sunday a month. And that's that particular service, and that Sunday, he's there early, he's all about it, and he's fantastic at it. And that's the capacity that he has right now to serve, and he does it very faithfully. So that's the nice thing about what we do in our roles is typically we have some flexibility there of the type of capacity that's needed. Things like children's ministry and stuff, that's a little bit of a larger commitment. It's a great fit for some people, but it's nice to have that as an option there for people. Now, as you've got your people on your teams, and as you're evaluating, maybe there's some issues that pop up, right? Like, let's say there's an usher who the last three times he served, he was 30 minutes late. As you're evaluating those things, that's important to start from the bottom up. We want to look at character last, or even we hopefully don't even have to get there. So is it frustrating when people don't show up? Absolutely, right? But what we have to guard against is not going, immediately going here and going, what is wrong with him? Does he not love Jesus? Is he not on mission with the rest of us? Like, what is wrong with you? Show up on time. It's so important to not go there, but to start down here and think about, I wonder, did he just start a new job? Or did his wife just have their fourth baby? Like, maybe we just need to chat about margin in his life. That's where we can extend a lot of grace and say, you know, what's going on there? And then if that seems like, he's got all the time in the world, then it's like, is he actually enjoying being on this team? Maybe he doesn't like this. So maybe I can help usher him to a different team that would be a better fit and that he would enjoy more. And then obviously, like, these go hand in hand with his skill set. If he feels incompetent and doesn't really enjoy talking to people, usher's probably not the best thing for him, right? So it's important to evaluate in this direction. So something as I was kind of thinking and praying through these things, something I came up with, it's pretty simple, but I feel like this is good to have this in the forefront of my mind. So if we say pray, recruit, train, pray, watch. Okay? So we're praying for who the Lord wants on our team. It doesn't matter what size church or what size team you have, you need to be praying for the Lord to send you people for your team on a regular basis. Then we recruit people and we start building out our team and we get people serving, right? And then we train them. You know, here's what we look for as a hospitality team. Here's what we're looking to do. This is the why behind it. This is how we love people, all of the training. Then you pray some more about that team that you've already recruited, and then you watch. And as you watch, the Lord's going to show you different things about different people. And as you're, this is the process you're going through to then start to develop leaders, and people with leadership potential emerge from your teams. I have a little running list of, like Pastor Nate said this morning, it's not a massive list, I have a list in my head of people that I've gone through this process with, and I'm watching, and I'm like, well, I wonder how the Lord wants to use them. He's going to use them far beyond what they're doing right now, and they might not have any idea, but I'm going to watch for those types of people to emerge. And they're your people that they just, you can tell they love what they're doing when they serve. Number one, they're a disciple, like Pastor Nate said, but they love serving. They love Jesus. They're excited to greet new people. They're just like, it looks like life is just breathed into them when they get to interact with a new person. That's someone the Lord has big plans for on the hospitality team and beyond. So I told y'all, I've been on staff almost 4 years. Never in a million years would I have thought I'd been on staff at a church. I was in business before this, and if we had a whole nother workshop, I could walk you through the process the Lord took us through to be here where we are now. But this would be something that probably happened to me while I was serving, and you just never know how the Lord wants to use you. So I just encourage you to just, even in where the current place you're at, there's good chance as you dig in and you continue to serve and you continue to grow as a disciple and you continue to fall more in love with Jesus, He's got big, big plans for you. So I just kind of came up with that as I was praying through this, and I thought, this is good for me to have in the forefront of my mind. I thought it might be helpful for y'all as well. Okay, so let's talk through just some practical tips to have an amazing hospitality team. Hospitality really does not begin the first Sunday someone steps foot on your property, right? Lots of times people are checking us out digitally long before they step foot on our property. Have you noticed that? It's just incredible. So what's so important about that, even if you don't have like a crazy budget for a big fancy website and an app and all those things, whatever you have just needs to represent you and be authentic and communicate, we love new people here, we love guests, and we want you here. It's just that, it's that important. And one of the things we ask ourselves, anything we put out into the world, whether it be on our website, our app, or through social media, is this us? Does this represent us? We don't want to do some fancy, crazy thing and be like, that just isn't even us. I don't want them to see something online and then show up here and be like, what? This doesn't even seem like the same place I saw online. And so it was really cool. We had a Consider Mission luncheon this past Sunday. And one of the things is we go around, we have people share like stuff that jumped out at them. And we had a guy share with us, he and his wife just recently moved to the area. And his strategy for finding a church, which I found really interesting, is he would go to a church's website, to like devour the website, every detail, then he would attend and say, did that match up with that? Which is a little sobering, right? And he's telling the story and I'm like, please tell me. I wasn't sure what direction it was going to go for us. And he said he did that to several churches and it was like polar opposite when he got there. And he said, what's kept us here and why we're coming is because what you had on your website was what we experienced when we came. So praise the Lord for that. As you all know, there's always a lot of moving parts and you think, am I letting this slack, Lord, or this? And you know, the fact that the Lord used that was just really encouraging to me. So your people are checking things out long before they come. But let's talk about when they come in person. What's so important is signs and people, right? In regards to hospitality, signs and people, both are strategically placed to create the most welcoming environment we can. So let's think about people. The way you place your people, that is strategic based on your individual location, right? This is going to look a little different for everybody. We're going to talk through the roles here, and I have a handout for you, but some key roles for us is parking team, greeters, hosts, guides, ushers, coffee, special events. These are key because our goal is to relieve as much anxiety as possible for people when they're coming for the first time. Going anywhere for the first time is hard. Going to a church for the first time is really hard. We have no idea what their past experience has been, if they've ever stepped foot in a church building, and if they're really meant to be at your church. Satan's going to be doing everything he can to keep them from getting there, right? So that relieving that anxiousness is so important. So for example, we have a complicated parking situation here. But I will tell you, it's way more important to me how our parking team treats those people, everybody that comes onto our property. That's more important to me than how they park the cars. So it's important to train our teams that way. The value in the role that they're serving in is far beyond the task they're trying to execute, right? Okay. So we've had people return. I've had two people in the last year, as I followed up with them, they came back because of how they were treated in the parking lot. Isn't that incredible? It just means a lot to people to feel like, wow, they want us here. This is really cool. Okay. So it's important to train your teams this way. Some people in the hospitality team might need training on how to start a conversation. They might need some go-to questions of like, here, this is when you meet someone. This is something that's great to say. And our hospitality team has to be okay with standing alone, right? Because they are there to seek, you know, going back to that scripture, seek out people to show hospitality to, and they kind of have to be there waiting for guests. Now, I will tell you, I feel like that's an ongoing battle in my life. So if that is not happening perfectly at your church, it's okay. You know, in the moment, we just have to trust the Lord and go, it's okay, Lord, you've got this, you know. But it is important to train them not to get wrapped up in conversations with their friends. I've seen this called holy huddles, right? It's so hard to not get wrapped up in conversations with our friends. But when we're serving and we're trying to seek out those people, it is important to be able to stand alone. You know, one of the things is we've had pretty significant growth here at Mission Church. And what we found is our hospitality team, it's intimidating to go up to someone and introduce themselves and say, oh, are you new? And they might say, oh, I've been coming 6 months. So we sort of altered what we say, and I try to model it for our team, is you just introduce yourself, say, hi, I'm Lisa. How long have you been coming to Mission? And they might say, this is my first Sunday, or they might say, 2 years, it doesn't matter, because you haven't, you know, you haven't met. So just little tweaks like that of like stopping that intimidation to speak up. And that's a legitimate thing, you know, to be able to know you're not going to embarrass yourself or embarrass them. Like, wow, we haven't met, or, well, no, it's my first Sunday. So a good way to do this for your teams is to hold hospitality team meetings. We try to do this once or twice a year. We have to remember our hospitality teams, we are leading volunteer armies. And these people have full-time jobs. I mean, many of our team are here. They have full-time jobs. They have families. If you're the one leading out on this at your church, it's way more in the forefront of your mind than anyone else's. And that's okay. So those meetings to reset and talk about the why and help them understand their value on this team is just, it's just so important. And then you might need to do individual team meetings. Like we've done individual parking team meetings where we're talking about specific strategies and how to implement the best parking system possible. Okay, so we're going to talk through the specific roles here. I've got a handout for you. Just want to take and pass. So you might have some of these roles at your church. They might look a little different, but I thought it would just be helpful to walk through those. Give you all some ideas of what we do here. Everybody get one? Okay, so parking team. I love the parking team. Matt can tell you, I don't know why. Well, I kind of do know why, but I just have a special place in my heart for our parking team. Because they're just like we said before, it's such an important role here, and they just need to be strategically placed to let people know they're welcome and invited. So depending on your church, depends on how many people you actually need serving. But I would tell you, no matter the size of your church, no matter how easy it is to park and get in your building, I would encourage you to have at least one or two people out there, because it just communicates we're prepared, we're here for you. Definitely at the entrance of your property. If you can only have one person serving, I would have them right at the entrance of your property. Okay, and as for signs with parking, signage is really a big deal too. We have a sign right at our entrance that says, if you're a first-time guest, turn on your flashers, and one of our parking team members will show you to one of our special guest spots. That's just like we're rolling out the red carpet for our guests. Bless their hearts, what it took to get them to just turn into that property. We cannot underestimate that. We want them to feel super special, right? Okay, so then if we're looking through our C's here for that particular role, like we're going to live right here, like we said, competency and chemistry. We've found that like our blue collar guys are great parking team members. A legitimate piece of being on the parking team is standing outside in the elements. You know, I mean, I will on a Sunday morning when my eyes open and I hear it pouring down rain, my first thought is my parking team. So I hate that for them. And I usually like, you know, just fall all over myself. And they're all like, we're good. Like, we actually enjoy getting soaking wet. I'm like, I don't know why. I still pity them when it's raining and snowing out there, you know. So there has to be a willingness. Now that particular person. Now, we have had females serve on our team. We don't have anyone serving right now. So, but it tends to be men that are looking to do that, we found. We've had a variety too. We have a dad and his two boys that serve. I love seeing them out there. That's really cool. So, and then you're also not just your blue collar guys, but your guys that are like your behind the scenes, you know, servants that just like to show up and serve without a lot of like pomp and circumstance. They are really great for that role as well. Sometimes they're going to need to be trained on the value of their role because they're probably going to approach it as, yeah, I'm here to park cars. Just put them in their spots. It'll be great. But that whole, no, you're welcome. And then once they get that, though, they're so good at it. So it gives you a little idea of what you can be looking for there with your parking team. Greeters, this is pretty simple. I'm sure you all have this. They should be at all of your main entrance doors. Any door that someone's going to enter in, you've got a greeter there. They're just going to hold the door open, shake hands, welcome everyone. And here, if one of our greeters has a guest come, the greeter's role is then to hand that guest off to one of our guides. So that's the next role. And, you know, here, this is like friendly people. You know what I mean? For your greeters, they don't have to be able to carry on extensive conversations with people they don't know, but they just have to be warm and friendly. We have young adults through like the old saints of our church serving as greeters. So it's a nice spot to have a good variety there. Okay. But then when it comes to guides, this is a role that it's super valuable, and we really kind of handpick this role here. I will initiate that role with someone rather than someone signing up for that. So the guide's role is to take a first-time guest from the greeter and then walk them through the process of getting into the worship center. So obviously, our guides will be like right inside the lobby. Pre-COVID, we had two guides. Right now, we have some guides helping with seating. Now we've got at least one there usually. This is a role that I look to jump into whenever it's needed to. So the guide is just inside the lobby. We train them to look for people with the confused look on their face. You know, it's kind of obvious when someone's coming in for the first time. So the greeter doesn't catch them and they walk in and it's like, where do I go? The guides are on it as soon as possible. So obviously, get them to the worship center. If they don't have kids, that's pretty simple. But if they have children, our guide will then navigate that entire process with the parents. So they'll walk them to the kids' check-in, get them all checked in and registered, which feels like sometimes it takes 20 minutes. Anybody else? Like, that is a long time. So you need people that can, like, carry on a conversation. It's really important. Then they'll take the family, get the kids where they need to go in children's ministry, walk them back, the parents back up to an usher at one of our doors. So that role is really important and strategic. So like I was saying, I kind of jumped ahead there, but these are your people that can carry on longer conversations, people that are in sales that have had to interact with people that they don't know. We have teachers in this role, customer service people, anyone that as their career interacts with strangers on a regular basis is great for your guide role. Oh, next is host. Sorry, I thought we were going to usher. So host, currently we don't have this role, but this is something that is super important. We had before COVID, we had a big old desk in our lobby. We then transitioned that to kids check-in. You probably saw it there. It looks really good there. So we're happy with it there. And we're building out a host stand right now. We have someone building that's going to be right inside the door. And this is just like your info desk. So you have a host there that they can answer any questions, talk to people. Sometimes new people come there and then your host passes them on to the guide. And this is like, for us, it's helpful to have an organized person there because there'll be some systems that they need to run. If, you know, someone turns in paperwork or, you know, they can manage that for you. So that host role is super helpful too. So then our ushers. We have ushers at all of our worship center doors. They're handing out connection cards when we do invitation cards prior to a new sermon series launch. They'll hand those things out. They greet, welcome, and then offer to seat anyone or help to seat anyone that's new. So ushers, you're looking for just friendly people. This can be male or female. We have predominantly men in this role. It's not for any reason except that's what we have, but men or women can serve there. Friendly people. Now here's a role, seating coordinator. Christine mentioned this was like coming out of COVID, something that we needed to implement when we were doing, you know, our seating was a little spread out and things. We found it to be super helpful though to fill our room. Our room can be a little tricky if you get everybody on one side. It's very hard to preach to like one side. But what's happened is we were doing that long enough that I think we kind of trained everybody that they're doing it on their own, right? Christine, like the last couple times we're like, they're filling it in all by themselves. This is really cool, which is nice because that's going to free up a lot of our guides who are serving in that role and that they'll be able to come back out into the lobby and help with that. Coffee team, praise the Lord for the coffee team, right? It is so important. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but obviously they prep, serve, clean up the coffee. This is great for your like behind the scenes people, servant's heart. Like I don't really want to interact with people much. I just want to serve the church. They are great. And we have some parents and teenagers, a whole different variety of people serving there. And then we have our special events team. They prep, serve, and clean up food for all of our events. They're not scheduled on a regular basis. We just call upon them as we have events and things like that. And that particular team just... we just got them all cute little aprons. Maybe you'll see them at lunch, but they look so cute. That's our special events team. But they just love serving together and working behind the scenes. And so what's nice is there's you've got roles on your hospitality team for your most extroverted, friendly, over the top, you know, people loving person the whole way to you're like, you know what? I love people, but I want to serve those people behind the scenes. It's kind of cool. We can fill all those roles. So as the leader of the hospitality team, this filter should be running through your head as you're recruiting for your team. And as we said before, you know, you're watching for like, okay, let's see how these leaders emerge. So as a member of your larger team, though, this is where it's so important. As you're meeting new people, if you're like the point person on meeting new people, not only are you thinking about hospitality, you're thinking about the whole church. So you'll meet someone, you might say, you know what, she'd be amazing for kids ministry, or he'd be great on the facility team. It's important to be thinking that way, too, if you're the people person at your church, because anytime a slot on a team is filled, the whole church is strengthened, even if it's not falling right on your hospitality team, right? So let's take a practical look at how these teams work together on a Sunday morning, right? It's a little case study, I guess we could call it. So new families come into our church for the first time. They come to the church, they're about to turn onto the property, they have no idea where they're going, they see a sign and a parking team member waving and telling them to come on in, they see that sign that says put your flashers on, perfect, another parking team member ushers them to one of their guest spots. So they get parked and that was a good experience. Well, now they're heading up the ramp to come to the front door and that anxiety is starting to build. Oh my word, we've never been here. We don't know where to go. We don't know a single person here. They look up and they see a greeter standing at the front door, waving at them, telling them to come on in. That puts them at ease. They walk into the lobby. They have no idea where to go to check their kids in. A guide sees a kind of that anxious look on their face, walks over, introduces themselves, and offers to help take them to get the kids checked in. So mom decides to take the kids to get checked in at kids ministry. Dad decides to wait in the lobby. And dad's standing in the lobby, completely alone, realizes he knows no one, and he looks over and he sees a coffee station. And he's like, perfect. I can go make my coffee and take as long as I want stirring my cream because I know I don't know anybody and wait for my wife to come back. You know, it's so important. Think about when you have someone over to your home. What's one of the first things you do? You say, can I get you something to drink? There's just something about holding a drink in your hand that kind of puts you at ease, makes you kind of calm down. It's okay. I feel like I have something to do. I get to hold this cup, right? All right. So mom's getting the kids checked in. And as she's checking the kids in, she looks over and she sees a safety team member, which is another huge factor. And she says, wow, okay, my kids are going to be safe. That's good to know. The guide helps her get her kids registered, walks mom and the kids, gets them plugged into their classrooms, walks her back up, meets Dad in the lobby, walks to the doors, introduces them to one of the ushers. He gives them a connection card and then offers to get them seated. They are seated now in the worship center, ready to hear, receive, and respond to God's word. So that's an example of the hospitality team working together to accomplish that mission statement that we have. You know, it's so important to remember the why behind what we do. As I was saying earlier, it can be so easy to just show up and serve, you know, and it's just so much more than that. I really believe with all my heart that God is using each one of you, regardless of where you're serving and how you're doing it. He is using you to further his mission. And that's just super exciting. All right, so let's talk a little bit about assimilation, all right? I meant to tell you all, we should have time for Q&A at the end. So if you have any questions throughout, we'll try to answer as many as we can when we're all done here. Okay, so going back to our quote from earlier, assimilation leads to life transformation by giving people the means and opportunity to become maturing followers of Christ. And as I said before, also our assimilation process gives us our first pass at the five C's, which is really helpful. So I want to just walk you through some of all of our assimilation here at Mission Church. I have another handout for you. You guys can pass these around. Should be enough there. There you go. If I grab one of those, and then we'll walk through them. All right, everything starts with Guest Connect. Guest Connect for us is a very purposefully casual time after all of our services where guests can just pop in, say hello, and make a first point of connection. If you've looked around our lobby, we have a Guest Connect area. It's new and we really love it. That's really warm and friendly, but no matter where you're at, I was thinking about this time last year, we weren't congregating in our lobby. So we were literally hauling a table and a tent outside into the gravel lot after every service to be able to have Guest Connect there. I mean, like bundled up in my winter coat. I couldn't believe that people would stop and talk. I'm like, it's 30 degrees. I couldn't believe it, but people would still stop and talk. So no matter where you are, it's just important to have a nice separate designated area like that. Super quick and casual. Our guests are invited during the announcements to stop by there. It also mentions it on our website and our app if they're looking there. They come and we have a nice little gift for them for stopping by. Here's the thing with your guest gift. This is not the time to cut costs. It means so much to people when you give them something nice. So here's what we're giving out right now. They can choose between a mug or a water bottle. This is, you got your multiply. These are like sought after. People beg for these. And I'm like, if you're not a first time guest, you don't get one. But you all got one in your multiply. It's really nice. So even if you don't have a budget for something like this right now at your church, just get creative and think of what's a nice gift. Maybe it's like a homemade bag of goodies that you just, you know, wrap up really nice with a pretty ribbon that just speaks to like, hey, we thought of you. We want you here. It means a lot to people when you give them a little something when they stop by. It just makes them feel special. It's our chance to love on these people. Sometimes the conversations at Guest Connect will be super quick and short, and you can tell, like, they just want to get their gift and go. And that's fine. Like, we don't force them to stay there and tell us their life story at their first Sunday, right? But then other people will stand there and pour their heart and soul out to you. So you have to be prepared for whatever the Lord has for you when you're there. Sometimes it's you're standing there and nobody comes. And then other times there's maybe six people there for us. So it fluctuates. Every week, it's, as far as I can tell, completely unpredictable for us. There will be some Sundays I'm like, oh, it's the 9 o'clock. That's when everybody comes to Guest Connect. And then the next two, nobody comes at 9. I'm like, all right, Lord, clearly I don't have this figured out and we'll just roll with it. Just important to have that. We also have them fill out a Guest Connect card. We just have little, what are these called? Clipboards. And this is a card for us to get their information, which is super important for follow-up. So you get a little info on them. And then not only do you want them to swing by, but when they swing by and say hello, it's important to then invite them to the next step in the assimilation process. So everybody that comes to Guest Connect, we give an invitation to our Consider Mission Luncheon. whether they're a first-time guest or that they've waited 4 or 5 weeks to stop by, we want to make sure everybody gets an invite to this. I have some samples of these, too, so you guys are welcome to grab one. Because you just never know how ready people are going to be right away to come and take a next step. What I always say to people is what I was finding that people, whether you have, like, I know step two, what are other names that you guys use in step two? Step two, we used to have step two, and then we changed our name and made everything mission. We just found it helpful to do that, but we know exactly what that is as well. And I think it's helpful. We were finding that people felt like, our guests felt like they had to have made up their mind that they landed here before they attended that. So every time I give one of these out, I say the exact same thing every time. So once you kind of like memorize it, you're good to go. It's your go-to. But I will tell everyone, don't feel like you have to have landed here to come to Consider Mission, because coming to Consider Mission will help you decide if you want to land here. And when you say that, you can see the relief on people's faces. They're like, oh, okay, like I could go, and I'm not like, you know, they're not going to like, you know, pin me down to become a member at this thing, you know, because I really believe Consider Mission is a filter for us. The Lord uses that. Not everybody who comes to your church is meant to stay at your church. And the Lord will use that. So just get them there. And they sit under, we have a great lunch together. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to tell you all about that in a minute. But it's just really helpful for them to decide. And if it's like they're meant to be here, it just keeps them moving even faster. Or it can be a hard, like, nope, this is not a good fit. That whole, those convictions don't line up. And that might as well happen sooner rather than later, right? Okay, and then guest follow-up. This is really big. We try to get as much of their information as we can right out of the gate. So they're given a connection card when they walk in the door from an usher. When they come to Guest Connect, I asked if they filled out their connection card. If they say no, then I'll have them fill out this guest card that is very similar to the connection card. And then I call every guest that we have within 48 hours of them coming on a Sunday. Personal phone calls might sound a little dated and old-fashioned, but we have found that it is just so helpful. People are shocked when you call them. Like, I can't believe you called. And as your church grows, they're even more surprised that you called. And sometimes my guest report has 25, 30 names on. I look at that as praise God. Like, what a blessing to be able to have that privilege to call that many people. I leave a lot of voicemails, and that's totally fine. Just like introduce myself. Thanks so much for joining us on Sunday. If you have any questions about the church, please feel free to call or text me back. Like, super simple voicemail. And this is kind of the same thing as Guest Connect. It'll sometimes, when they pick up, be a very quick conversation, and you can tell when someone wants to get off the phone. Or it'll turn into like someone pouring their heart and soul out, and you think, wow, Lord, thank you for that privilege to be able to listen and to love on that person. You never know. They might not have anyone or not many people in their lives who listen to them. But it's just, it makes a really big difference. One of the things Pastor Jerry is always reminding us is that we want to work hard to feel small. And as your church grows, you never want to outgrow your ability to care for people. And so loving on them and pouring into them any way that you can. He always says we find new ways to be old fashioned. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool to be able to do that. And you start to build that relationship with someone really quickly out of the gate. If they don't give a phone number, then I'll send an email. But if I have a phone number, I definitely want to be calling them. Okay, so Consider Mission, I mentioned before. We hold this about every 6 weeks after our second service. We found that to be the best time to offer it, where the most people show up. We do offer childcare for people. It's a luncheon where we have table hosts. Every table has a host. This is made up of small group leaders, pastors, some key staff members. It's a great way for your small group leaders to grow their small group. We have lunch together, and then Pastor Jerry shares and specifically walks people through our six pursuits. We have those hanging in the lobby, and he walks them through. This is our Consider Mission booklet. We designed this to just be super simple and straightforward, walking through our mission statement, our six pursuits, and then we get into what membership at Mission looks like. So we do that. It's usually, you know, we start around a little before 1 by the time we get everybody down there and serve their lunch, and we end around 2:30 or so. This has just been really helpful, like I said, to help people wrap their heads around what we're all about as a church. So you're welcome to grab any of these things before you leave that you would like. And depending on the size of your church, this might look a little different. It doesn't have to be a big luncheon with, you know, we probably average 25, 30 guests at ours. But even if you just have a few people that are new, maybe you arrange for your senior pastor and his wife for them all to go out to lunch together. Or we've done events where Pastor Jerry, as we've grown, it's harder on and harder on him that he doesn't know all the new people because he was over assimilation for years. And so we've done things like he's like, I want to know the new people. I got to get around the new people. So he and Robin have hosted a new people in their home and things like that. So this can take just a variety of forms, but it's just a great, it's important to have something on the calendar consistently that you're committed to do rather than going, oh gosh, we got a bunch of guests. We probably should do something. At some point, you got to like lock something on the calendar. And I really believe that the Lord blesses us when we're prepared for it. Mm-hmm. You might be thinking, well, gosh, we haven't had, you know, I don't know your circumstances of your church. Maybe you're like, gosh, we've only had like one guest in the last couple months. Being prepared and getting these systems in place is preparing you for the Lord to grow your church because we know that's what he wants to do. And so you prepare and you pray and then the Lord's going to plug in and he's going to do a work there, which will be really exciting. Okay. Next in our line of assimilation is what we call connect to mission. This is after someone attends Consider. That's a prerequisite for membership. So they have to go through Consider Mission. It filters out those convictions and things like that. They start to understand who we are as a church. And then after they've attended Consider Mission, they can then apply for associate membership and connect with one of our elders through a membership interview. That's the connect to mission part. Now, associate membership, that term is, I think, kind of unique to us. We found it to be really helpful. Associate membership begins their membership process. And then over the next 3 months, we want them to land in a small group, join a serving team, and take our commit to mission class. All of those things lay a foundation then to complete their membership process here. And then it's a springboard into them developing as disciples, growing in their walk. And as this happens, your leaders emerge and the Lord's going to send you who you need to not only multiply leaders, multiply yourself, but then multiply churches, which is very cool. So that Commit to Mission class, it's a 4-week class. It is required to finish their membership process. And what it does is it takes like the foundational things they learn to consider mission and takes it a step deeper. We look at our 4 membership commitments, which are commit to mission, commit to maturity, commit to ministry, and commit to multiplication. We have a booklet, a smaller booklet that's our commit to mission book that we walk through. Pastor Jerry, alongside the rest of our pastors, wrote this material. So when we first wrote it, we did a sermon series on it. We preached through this. Then all of our small groups did this. And it was a way to get the entire church caught up to what these membership commitments are. So then moving forward, as our new people come in and new members come, they're then catching right up as well as they go through this class. And then after this class, they're invited to plug in. They can go right from there into our discipleship pathway. Some of them go a leadership track that we have, and those leaders start to emerge. And then there's other general discipleship and different things like that that they can do. And this truly is where your leaders start to emerge. You know, you can be sitting in that commit to mission class and you go, wow, that's a future small group leader right there. You can just start to see those things start to jump out, which is really fun to see. All right, so we've worked hard to make that assimilation process as super streamlined, as simple as possible. As you're developing things like that, especially those of you that are, you know, from different churches, think about you've got to be able to replicate yourself, right? As you, I'm sure everybody, you know, all of our goal is to plant churches. To be able to do that and do that effectively, we have to be able to replicate our systems. If our systems are way too complicated, it's going to be very hard to replicate that on different levels. So however you're developing those, think with replication in mind. Okay, so really quickly, just some key factors that I think are super important for a successful assimilation process. First thing is prayer, right? Just being on our knees about this. I pray regularly for guidance and wisdom on who to reach out to, because sometimes it's hard to figure that out. I also pray to remember names. My husband can tell you, one of the biggest things that was intimidating to me thinking about coming on staff in this role was I could never remember anyone's name. It was horrible. I mean, people I should have known. I could not. It's like, how could I possibly be this person at church? And I just prayed and prayed. And I'm telling you guys, it's the Lord how I can remember names now. Someone will be walking towards me and I'm like, nope, please, 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 Lord. And by the time they're there, I have their name. It's amazing. But that was a big factor to me to pray for that. So wherever you feel deficient, pray, because the Lord wants to help you be the best you can at these roles you're in. It's also important to have grace in all we do. You know, how do we handle when people say no to an invitation? They're not quite ready for membership. They critique your church on a phone call. You know, they're just not very friendly. How do we respond? As the people at our church, whether serving on a hospitality team or in a staff role, we are the people that have a smile on our face and extend grace anytime, whenever we can, because the Lord will use that for sure. You know, it's super important to meet people where they are. You know, when we end our Consider mission, we have an invitation to apply for membership, but we say some of you are ready for this right now. Others of you need some time to pray and think about it, and that's totally okay. That's meeting people where they're at, but also remembering that where they're at can change rather quickly. If someone tells you, we're not quite ready for membership right now, in 3 or 4 weeks, they could be at a different place. So a no right now does not mean a no forever. That's why our follow-up is so important, which is the next thing. You know, truly what you do when you're working with people and you're helping people advance through the assimilation process, a lot of what you do when no one is looking will determine the success in all of that and how people move through. So, you know, as people come to mind, reach out to them. Just having a system where you consistently follow up with people, whether it's, okay, I know who I need to get to consider. I know who is here that hasn't been to consider, and I got to extend that invitation and keep reaching out to them about that. I know who's ready for membership. What does that look like? It's just important to be thinking that way at all times of how am I strategically moving people through this system. All right. Also, with your follow-up, it's really important to think about passive versus active. Okay, so when I'm inviting someone to consider, and I say, well, we'd love to have you come join us for lunch with Pastor Jerry, and they say, well, we might be able to make that work. Don't you love that? It's like, that doesn't help me. Are you coming or not? I might be able to be there. So passively looking at that or passively responding to that would be, okay, well, I'll tell you what, just let me know if you want to come, or just go ahead and sign up if you'd like to, versus an active response. When someone says that, which happens frequently, I'll say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and sign you up. You just let me know if it doesn't work for you. 99% of the time they come, right? Because they're like, oh, she signed me up. Like, I got to go. And I know once they come, they're going to love it. So it's okay, even if they begrudgingly come, right? Once they go through it, they're going to really love it. We give them a good meal. Like, it's a good thing, you know? So just an example would be thinking of how can I actively respond versus like passively waiting for people to take the next step. Another thing that's really important is just ease and simplicity of use. People are so busy, full-time jobs, families, they should not have to jump a lot of hoops to move through the process you're wanting them to move through. So I'll tell you, a big thing for us is we have a digital membership application. If you're still using paper membership applications, I encourage you to think about having a digital one. So I can just copy and paste that in an email and send it to someone. They can click and fill it out. And it's part of our, you know, comes through our database and things like that. Now, I knew I wanted one, but had no idea how to actually execute it. So our graphic designer who does those types of things for us. But if you're interested or you want help with that, my email is up there. Feel free to reach out. We can get you, you know, show you what ours looks like and things. But that has been really helpful for that. Having online signups for Consider Mission, for different events you're doing, whether they're, if you have an app and they're signing up through that, as your church grows, you might not be at the point now where you're like, I don't even know if we need that. We can like have signups in the lobby. That's totally fine if that's effective and it's working. But as you're growing, be thinking about, is this still effective and working? Something we did 2 years ago, or is there a way we can improve this and make this more streamlined and easy for the people? You know, we have our Myerstown campus, for example, we realized, like, they're a smaller campus than we are. And so their signups, we're like, if we just put clipboards in the lobby, they sign up for everything. You know, they just do. We're like, why are we overcomplicating this and telling them it's a different demographic too? Like, why are they having to, they don't need to sign up through the app. Like, just give them a clipboard. So it's evaluating your situation and what's the best practice for your church at your particular time and where you're at. So I hope this has been helpful, guys. It's been fun to be able to share with you. I love hospitality. I know you do as well, to spend this time with us here in this workshop. And like I said, we've got resources up here. Please help yourselves to those. My email, phone number there. You're welcome to email me, call, text anytime. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have and answer any questions now. Do you guys have anything that I can... questions pop up? I know it was a lot of information there all at once. Any questions? Questions on how we do things, how things look like, anything like that?
Let me say you give someone a connect card when they come through. Mm-hmm. Is that because someone dropped them off to you to know they're new?
What, our connection card?
Yes.
Okay, so our ushers are at our three main doors. And everybody that comes in gets a connection card. Everybody in the church gets a connection card. And then they have to drop that off in a basket. So this came out of, I'm sure many of you experienced this, COVID just gave us some like built-in resets. Like, for example, we realized there isn't a huge need for a paper bulletin anymore. So we cut down to that. We just do a digital bulletin. We created a weekly email that goes out on Mondays. It's basically what would have been in a bulletin. At the time, pre-COVID, we did something called a friendship register. And we passed a folder and put the friendship register in. And then COVID kind of helped us. We restructured our service that we saw the Lord working and moving when we didn't have those like speed bumps in our service. Like we went to recorded announcements. We don't pass offering bags anymore. Like we found that the Lord still has provided and everything's worked. And so we're just like worship and prayer and preaching. So we needed a way to collect people's information. And especially, did you all do registration during COVID a little bit? Did anyone have registration for services? That was awesome because we never missed a guest because everybody had to register. So when we took registration away, the biggest thing was like, oh no, like we're not going to get all of our guests now. So the connection card was like birthed out of, we need to get people's information, but we don't need to do this big, thick bulletin anymore. There wasn't a need for it. So we also use that connection card for attendance too. We have an online version of a connection card. If people are watching us online, they can fill that out through our app too, but just a way to get people's information. Yeah.
I was wondering how you gave just a visitor one, but you're giving a connection card.
Everybody's getting them.
The ushers are handing them?
Ushers are handing them out at the doors. Yep. And then but if they come to Guest Connect, I always say, did you get a chance to fill out your connection card? And like a lot of times, 50% of the time, it's like, oh no, I didn't get to do that. Then I have those guest cards there. And I'll just take a minute and fill this out for me. So whether it's the connection card or the guest card, I'm trying to get their information.
So much the same information.
Basically. Yeah. And like super simple. People don't want to fill out, like right. Give you their like address.
Do what?
Those bank cards that are also there? I'm just thinking what's under your desk.
It's just a small card, and really, we just ask for, you might have some older ones. We just ask for phone and email.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I mean, people don't want to give out their physical address the first time they're there. So super simple that they're not standing there writing for 10 minutes, too, is helpful.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm supposed to be repeating the questions because I'm being recorded, so I failed there. I will repeat this question now, okay?
So I love the idea of, like, the elder kind of gets someone, like, through the process. Which I think we kind of do that. Does that person, like, are they kind of like their, for lack of a better term, like sponsor for like getting them to the next things? Like, you know, you meet with them, you go over the membership application type deal. Mm-hmm. Then they're, what's next? Connect to commission?
Connect is the interview. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So are they kind of their contact, this elder that's met with them, or you are, or a team member is?
Yep. So let me repeat that question since I'm being recorded. So what role does the elder play in the membership process? Okay, so I'm over membership for our church. So when someone applies for membership, I get the membership application. I assign them to an elder to do the interview. The elder then gets some of our elders like a digital copy, others like paper copy. So I know, you know, what they like, who gets what. And then they set up a time to meet with the person who applied for membership. Most of them do it on a Sunday morning. Yeah, sometimes it'll be in different homes, but most of them will do it like during one of our services. Okay. It has been, I think our elders would tell you, they love doing these. They love being that involved with our new people, and it draws out things like they talk about their testimony. Excuse me, it'll pull out if someone needs baptized. I mean, we have people that just get in that room. A lot of times it's an elder and his wife too. That'll get in that room and like pour their heart out, and it turns into, you know, a soul care session. We've had people share in their elder interview like stuff they've been through that they've never shared with anyone, and it turns into like, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours. I love that about our elders, is they approach that with just like such joy. And yeah, so they're like, it's almost like they're screening them for membership, for lack of a better word, you know, and so that would pull out some stuff like, and they would have sat through Consider, so and have been given resources and things that they have read through, and they might say, you know, this, I don't know how I feel about this, or like we have someone now who's on hold for membership because they don't believe in elder leadership. Well, that's, you can still be here and be at Mission, but you're not going to be a member if you don't have that same conviction that we're an elder-led church. You know, female pastors, that's something, you know, we hear often, and that'll be discussed there. Anything like that, that convictions wouldn't line up with. And then our elders make the decision, are they approved to move forward? They let me know. But one elder cannot officially approve someone for membership. So they'll say, hey, I interviewed so-and-so, they're good to go. And then I do an elder report for their monthly elder meeting. And I'll have a list of people that this one's been interviewed by this one's been, they're good to go pending elder board approval. At their elder meeting, they review all those names, and then they're officially approved for membership after that elder meeting.
I love a lot of this simply because I think it goes from an elder being on a board and
Oh, yeah.
In the church.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it gives them joy because elders.
Absolutely. It is.
So
yeah.
You get to see your people. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's why I do this.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Getting them involved like that is huge. And then as your church grows, you know, they feel like they're a part of that process of what the Lord is doing.
So then, how do you know if you get, like, do you send an email? Like, you're a member. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. After every elder meeting, it's like very rare that anyone isn't approved there. Then everyone who's approved, then we have a standard letter that we send. Pastor Jerry signs he wants to see everyone, sign, and lots of times his notes and things like that. They get a letter in the mail saying you're officially approved as an associate member. And then I'll follow up with, have they landed in a small group? Are they on a serving team? Here's the next dates for the commit class. So
have they landed?
A lot of the database is in my brain, but I do have systems. Yeah, yeah. We have a database, but yes, it's important to have statuses. Like we have a guest status, attended Consider Mission. So depending on the size of it, like I, every like 2 months, print out our list of everyone who's at attended Consider Mission. Because if they're on that list, they have an advanced. So like after Consider Mission, everyone who attended Consider Mission, I go into the database and change their status to attended Consider. If they've applied for membership, it then their status changes to pending or, you know, submitted membership application, I think. So I'll print out those lists and regularly look over them and be like, okay, somebody's been sitting here at attending Consider for a while. Like, you're here. Y'all need to get on board with membership, you know, and follow up with things like that. So.
So what do you do if someone has been approved for associate membership and then it's 6 months and they haven't landed in a small group or participated in serving?
Consistently follow up and love them and encourage them. And yep.
So do you go to capacity and you say, hey, I've noticed you're not connecting us. Is there, what's going on? Like you can't. care yeah. from the soul of the person.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If they're applied for associate and I'm seeing them on Sunday mornings and things like that, I circle back around and say, hey, have you had a chance to visit any of those small groups we suggested? Why or why not? I mean, it might be something that, you know, they have a new baby or husband works nights and things like we just try to approach this whole thing with a spirit of grace. And meeting people where they're at. So just loving them to the point of if they're here long enough and they sit under, you know, biblical preaching, they're going to want to advance in the process. So wanting that for them versus forcing them through it, it's very different. Because you force them through it, it's not going to be pretty. You know, it's going to be like, I didn't even want to be here and you're forcing me to be here. So, yeah, loving them through it, I would say. It's just about lunchtime. Any other questions?
I had a question.
Yeah, sure thing.
The bulletin was virtual. How does that work with if, I guess, how do you explain that to your guests as they come in? Mm-hmm. It's usually, I mean, most of the churches that I've been to, they always hand you something with mm-hmm. their events or just mm-hmm. something like a calendar or something that you can take home with you. Is that usually in like a bag for them later?
Well, it's in our digital bulletin can be found in our app. So we encourage everybody to download the app, start coming that way. They're probably utilizing that email that I mentioned that has, we call it This Week at Mission. It goes out every Monday morning, and it's just like blocks and highlights of things. So as soon as we have their information in our database, they're in that group that then gets those emails. So as they discover the app and things like that, you know, then they can, I'm guessing that very few people are looking at our digital bulletin, to be honest with you. Well, thank you, Jen. See, Jen does. Look, Joe's like, there's a digital bulletin. Exactly. It's Matt, that's like Matt. I just delete the emails because she reads them.
My sermon notes, yeah.
Yeah.
I just figured out how to do it because I kept going to the bulletin and you can't actually write on the bulletin.
Yes, you got to go. Click on the main page. Yeah.
I just learned that like 3 weeks ago. I started Genesis.
But there's nothing wrong with, depending on where you're at, to have a handout at your guest spot. Like I said, it's about where your current church is and what meets those needs for sure. All right, well, let me take a minute and pray for us. I think I'm a couple minutes late, so I might be in trouble, but it'll be all right. Let me pray for us. It's so good having you all here in this workshop. I hope you're enjoying the conference. We're just so glad. We know some of you traveled far and, you know, gave up your weekend, and we're just so excited you're here. So let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that we're able to gather here for this conference. It's just so special to have 8 different churches here, Lord, all striving after you and your mission, Lord. I pray that what we've encountered here and how you've worked here, Lord, through this weekend, that it'll just bind that to our hearts, Lord. And we just ask you boldly, Lord, for you to advance your mission, Lord. Help us to just continuously fall in love with you and your gospel, Lord, and send all of our churches, people who need you, who need a relationship with you, Lord. And Lord, we just ask you to raise up leaders, Lord. We desperately want to multiply churches, Lord, for your kingdom and your gospel to go forth. And I just pray your blessing over every church that's represented here, Lord, and their hospitality teams and the people that just serve so faithfully. We're so grateful, Lord. And I just continue to pray that you will bless them and to send them more and more people. In Jesus' name, amen.